Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You know, you just got to love it when the Lord just shows up spontaneously. Because he's not going to do that just everywhere. He's going to do it because there's hearts that are seeking to him. There's hearts that are seeking for him. There's hearts that are desiring to know and to experience him. It's his desire to be where he's wanted. And you're showing that he's wanted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Genesis 28, if you want to turn there, Carla mentioned it a minute ago. We'll just kind of pick up there. It's not where I was intending to go this morning, but interestingly enough, I read through some of these things this morning, so in my prayer time. So I don't think it's just a coincidence there. God's wanting to do something in that moment. So as you're going back to your seats, or you don't have to stay where you are if you want to. If you're on the floor, that's awesome. I would be joining you if I didn't have another assignment here. And as verse 10, it says, and Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there, because the sun had set. He was going toward Haran because that's where Abraham had come from. Because the sun had set, he took off one of the stones off of the place and put it under his head and lay on that place. Okay, now, that's some serious sleep if you can sleep like that. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on top on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the land which you would lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He's speaking of our seed, of the seed which is called Christ. He's wanting, what he's doing here is reacquainting him with the promise of the inheritance that was given to Abraham and given to Isaac. He's awakening the very testimonies that had been set before them in previous generations. Now he's sharing it with this generation. He's awakening him and he said, here's a place. And when Jacob wakes up here, he recognizes that God had visited him and God was touching him in the moment and in this place. And he renamed it to Bethel, which means house of God. House of God. Bethel also means it's an ancient place and the seat of worship in Ephraim. It's the seat of worship. So it's no coincidence that through the place of worship, the word came in. It's no coincidence through the place of worship, God was mentioning and bringing the awareness to his promises. See, because his promises that are in your life haven't ceased. His promises weren't just for a past generation. His promise is for you. And you are part of the seed of this promise, but you are also a seed for those who are coming after you to bring that promise to them. And it's up to us to begin to hear him and to begin to speak with him and release what he's asked for this day and this hour. He's wanting to bring an awareness because, see, Jacob had a lot of self-effort, self-works in him. Hello. I know Carlos is looking at me now. Some of us like to do things ourselves. I'm one of those some of them. And you know, but you see, he's awakening them to understand this promise is something that's got to come by grace. It's outside of your ability to do it. It's outside of your ability to step into it even. And you're saying, here's something that I'm setting before you, and I want it to go with you as a light. Because, see, at the moment, he was simply running from Esau, his brother, because he had done his brother wrong. He had stolen the inheritance from his brother, and then he decided that, you know what? It's probably not safe for me here, and he fled. But see, when he fled, he wasn't going to a particular place other than just to go back to where my people came from. He didn't have a plan yet. He didn't have a vision yet. God is reawakening and reacquainting him with the vision. He's reawakening to him the vision. He's making it personal now to this generation. And so Jacob goes on, and he goes on from there. He names the place Bethel. And he goes on from there, and just for time's sake, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. He goes and basically in servitude to Laban. See, when he gets where he's going, he meets his, I believe it was an uncle, and Laban was a man who basically really wasn't serving God, and he was just a very usurious-ish person. But it would become instrumental in allowing Jacob to see the anointing on his life. See, because it took the pressure of that situation, because he saw Rachel and he wanted Rachel, and so he agreed that he would work for 7 years for Rachel, and then there was a little switcheroo that happened. And he wound up with Leah. And then Laban said, well, you know, my bad. I really didn't, you know. And so then he went and he said, but if you'll work another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. And so he did. And he actually entered into all these things. And he took all those things. And he began to excel at everything he touched, began to be blessed. The anointing that was on his life began to affect things for Laban. But see, still in his heart, he knew this is not actually what I'm supposed to be doing. And so he got married, and then he said, okay, now the Lord put it in his heart to have a little plan. And he said, and so he made an arrangements with Laban so that all the spotted and speckled sheep, all the ones that were going to look like Astoffs, that he would take. But Laban would get the best of the sheep. Except that he began to change the situation in such that the Lord caused all the spotted and speckled sheep to become the strong ones. The best of the best. Why? Because he was willing to let the Lord do it for him. And as he did so, now then there was a place where then he said, okay, now I need to leave out of here. And this is the point, I think, of what we're getting to. And let's see, it's in chapter 31 of Genesis. Chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father he has made all his wealth. Jacob saw it, the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. And then, see, you know, when God gets involved, sometimes people, and he shifts stuff around, sometimes people get jealous about that. And then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. And so he begins to leave out. And you see, and there's another dream, verse 11. And you see, and the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see all the male goats which are mating and striped, speckled, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. And he's specifically told in chapter 35, if you go there real quick, verse 1, And then God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and live there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. Returning to Bethel. See, sometimes we have to return to the place where God first touched us. Return to the place where God began to pour out his anointing on us. Return to the place where God began to awaken his inheritance with us. Began to speak to our hearts. When we return to that, return to a consciousness of what he's already done for you. See, when you're looking around, sometimes it's easy to get your eye on several different things. But if you allow him to return you to the place where he first touches you, where his anointing first came upon you, where the vision was just put in front of you, that's the place where he can awaken the destiny that's within you. As he's doing this, he's causing us, I believe he's causing this return to Bethel. He's saying, he come back to the place of worship, the place of the house of God, so that I can know so I can speak into your heart and release the destiny that I'd already called you to. You've already come and you've accumulated part of what I have for you, but you have yet to go where I really was wanting you to go. So come and be renewed in the place of the worship. Be renewed in the place of the anointing. See, when we allow him to touch our heart, there's an awakening that happens. When we allow him to bring this back into the place where we came out from, the place where he was initially sharing his heart with us, there's a strength that happens. It's allowing him to bring something to the surface, maybe that you had missed the first time. Because, see, he was consumed with works the first time. He was consumed with just simply getting out of the way of his brother Esau. By the time he was coming back to here, he had been touched by the angel of God, and he had a limp, and he could no longer run from his brother Esau. But now his protection was in God. His protection was in the covering of the Lord upon him. Do you realize that when Laban, when he left, he actually left secretly. He left out from Laban's property and whatnot secretly. And Laban chased him down. And as Laban got to him, the Lord appeared to Laban in a dream and said, you better be nice. He says, don't be speaking a good word or a bad word. Why? Because now the Lord was interceding on Jacob's behalf. It wasn't just up to Jacob to do it in his own strength anymore. It was coming out of the grace of God. It was his grace that was upon him. Why? Because he was walking in and he was carrying out that which is already there. But see, maybe it probably had come to Jacob. He was probably wondering at some point, will I ever fulfill this word? I want you to know, God's not looking at your failure. He's not looking at the things that you did wrong, because Jacob did a lot of things wrong in that process. He was stepping out of the way or out of the will of God many times in that process, but God was saying, hey, wait a second. Just in case you think you might have something else going on here, I want you to understand I'm still here and I'm still with you and the promise is still true. I'm still here and I'm still with you. That's why when we go back to Bethel, he's calling us back to the place where he can renew what was originally in your heart. Where he can revisit and re-explain and re-cause you to understand it's more than just you that's involved here. Was there really any way that Jacob could do all that he was supposed to call to do by himself? That just wasn't going to happen. There was no way he could actually be physically the father of the multitudes. But yet, he's the one whom God renamed Israel and then named the people of Israel after. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I always look at them as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because that's the nature, that's the way they appear. But see, what Jacob was doing was that he was an activation of what Holy Spirit was in this lineage. And it was on that that God could breathe. It was on that part. So all of Jacob's interactions and striving out of his own strength and in his own conniving, because he was called a supplanter, and it was all about his own conniving, all that conniving didn't get him where he was going. It was only by awakening the calling and the Spirit of God that was on him to be given him and release him into the fullness of what was there. Hallelujah. So no, so when he gets there, it's interesting to note that by this point, there was such an anointing on his life that as he passed through these foreign cities, these foreign countries, they left him alone because the fear of God went with him. I was looking for exactly where that was. It's somewhere in verse 35, in chapter 35, I believe. But it's. There's such a thing on his, there's a fear of the Lord that went with him everywhere that he went. Believe me, when you're walking through certain places, you want the fear of the Lord to go with you. There are some places that are dark and you kind of better have the fear of the Lord with you. Or there might be some other things happening. Because when the presence of God comes and he begins to minister just simply because you pass by. Just simply because you pass by. He ministers simply because he's already equipped you in that place. It's what he's calling all of us as a house to do. It's not a coincidence that he calls us as a house to come and worship today. This is not a coincidence that he's calling. I believe there's an atmosphere with what Tommy had said earlier, that there's a preparing, a preparation that's happening. And that preparation happens because we're getting awakened to what God has called us. We're getting awakened to his promises. We're getting awakened to the inheritance that he's left for us. We're getting awakened to his purpose for this body, this house, and all of us as individuals. I encourage you this week, let an atmosphere of prayer, an atmosphere of intercession come forward. Because see, as we let the atmosphere of prayer and intercession come forward, then that's going to prepare us for whatever is revealed even in the coming weeks. Because God is going to always show up and he's going to move in his people through prayer. It's not about who stands up here. Like he was saying, you know, if you're a minister, you have to remember, you're just simply the straw. You're not the drink. You're not what they were looking for when they stuck that down in that little bottle. They're looking for what's inside the bottle, not the straw. Okay, so just know that what we're called to here is going to happen. Why? Because we begin to pray for it. We begin to lay down an atmosphere for it. We begin to step into an atmosphere for it. We're awakened to what God has already said. He's already put it in front of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's put something in your heart. He's putting something in your heart. Sometimes there are things that get in the way. Sometimes we fail to forgive ourselves. We fail to let go of past disappointment. We fail because we think that we, the other thing that we did disqualified us. But God has called us to recognize that he's awakening that which is in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is no way to disqualify yourself from that if you'll just simply acknowledge that he's there. So I encourage you this week, just begin to pray for our services. Pray for this body. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray and cause this place. Call for the presence of God to visit and touch this house. For the presence of God to touch this house in a way that we've never even seen yet. I have such a vision for that in my heart, to see him show up in remarkable ways. But I guarantee you, it will never look like exactly like we have it all figured out, but he's already given us enough to know to go for it. It's his heart to be laid out in this place, to begin to affect not just here, but even if we affected just one, it would be awesome. But not just to affect just here, but to begin to change a city. Begin to change a nation. You have the authority in your heart. You have the authority in your mouth. Let's add ourselves to what God is doing here. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah.